but every man shall die for his own sin. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin, and he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God has power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do for the hundred talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. The decisions that we make. Brother Lester, if you would lead us in a word of prayer. For a long time after I was saved, I continued to fight the Lord for control of my life. If I'm honest with you, I could surrender some things to the Lord some of the time, but I had a difficulty surrendering everything to the Lord all of the time. And if I'm honest, I have found that the vast majority of people who call themselves God's people are doing the very same thing. If I'm honest, there's a lot of people in this church who are doing the very same thing. Oh, we talk a good game about wanting to do the will of God and that, well, you know, God's will is supreme and this, that, and the other. And it's easy to say until something crops up in your life where you have to make a choice. And let me tell you what I know. I know a lot of people talk about doing the will of God, but I know a lot of people in this church have a hard time actually doing it, and I know that because you know what happens very often? People will call me on the phone, and they will say, Brother Todd, I have this problem. I would like you to pray, and I would like you to ask God to fix it this way.
Yeah.
Really? And you're interested in the will of God? How about we just give it to God and just let God do what God wants to do.
Amen.
If you're truly interested in the will of God, then when problems come in your life, that will be the prayer you will pray. Lord, here's the problem. I'm now giving it to you. You do in this situation, Lord, whatever it is that you want to do. Then that's being interested in the will of God. Let me tell you about my own experience. One day, I finally got tired of fighting the Lord for control of my life, and finally, I just gave up and gave in and gave everything to Him. One day, I prayed, and I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, listen, You can do whatever You want to do in my life from this day forward." And I gave the Lord full control of everything. I mean my possessions, my money, my personal well-being, my health, my relationships, my ministry, and anything else you can think of. And guess what? The moment that I truly yielded everything to the Lord, my life and everything in it began to dramatically improve. Isn't that awesome? And you know what I figured out real quick? I figured out if you really let God take full control of your life, then what He will do in your life will be far superior to anything you'll conceive on your own, okay? God's will always be the best. And I know this to be true, friends, because I have experienced it. And today I know God is in full control of my life. He is still sovereign. He is still on His throne, amen? He is still in charge, even though this world is chaotic, even though it looks like the world's on fire, even though it looks like everyone's lost control. Let me tell you something, God's still on His throne, and God's still got control, and because He does, and because He's got control of my life, guess what? I am not stressed out about anything. My wife will tell you, I don't worry about much anything anymore. You know why? Because God is in control. He is my Father. I am His child. He has me in the palm of His hand. He tells me in Jeremiah 29, He has thoughts toward me that are good and not evil, and that He has a plan for my life. And if I just get out of His way and let Him do it, man, life will be good. And you know what? The second I got out of His way and let Him do what He wanted to do, let me tell you something, everything improved. And I'm telling you, I don't worry about anything anymore. And I'm telling you, friends, I'm just along for the ride now, and I'm willing to go wherever the Lord leads, do whatever He tells me, and you know what? So far, it has been an awesome ride. The only thing I regret is I didn't come to this place of full surrender a lot sooner than I did. I guess it's just an issue of maturity. But I'm telling you that most of God's people today are struggling to truly give everything to God and yield themselves to Him. And like I said, if I'm honest, there's a good number of people right here in this church, probably right here in this room this morning, who need to make that decision to let the Lord have control of everything in their lives and just yield themselves to Him. Let me make you a promise this morning. As long as your life is more about you than it is about Him, as long as you fight God for control of your life, as long as you refuse to yield everything to Him all the time, let me tell you something. You are going to struggle. You're going to struggle. And I see a lot of people, even in this church, who struggle in their spiritual life. And I ain't stupid because I figured this out, brother. It's because you have yet to give everything to Him. To give Him full control of everything in your lives and yield yourselves to Him. I promise you, you're going to struggle if you keep doing it. And every day, friends, we have to make decisions. Are we going to yield ourselves to God and His will for our lives? Or are we going to do what we want to do instead? Or is our life going to be about the Lord each day? You know, when you get up, you got to decide, is this day going to be about Him or is this day going to be about me? I hate to say this. There's too many Christians and too many churches in this country today that their life is about Jesus for about an hour on Sunday morning. And then their life is about them for the rest of the week. And then we wonder why our nation is in the shape it's in. I'll tell you why. That's why. In our text today, we see the account of Amaziah, who was king of Judah. And in this text, we see him facing the same decisions we have to face every day. And the question was this: would he yield himself to the Lord and do what God told him to do, or would he do what he wanted to do instead? And in this text, I believe we learn some very valuable lessons concerning the decisions that we make each and every day, concerning the will of God for our lives. So friends, what does the Lord have to teach us today about the decisions we make to do His will or not? Well, that brings me to my first point. I got a few here this morning. The first thing we see here is Amaziah had a plan. He had a plan. Look at verse 5 and 6. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together, made them captains over thousands, over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout Judah and Benjamin. He numbered them from 20 years old and above. He found there were 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle the spear and the shield. And he says here, verse 6, he also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel. Oh yeah, he had a plan. He decided, you hear me? He decided that he was going to go to Mount Seir and go to war with the Edomites. That was his decision. And so he gathered his forces together, the forces of Judah, and he found that he had 300,000 men who were able to go forth to war. Now, I just want to interject something here real quick. And I hope America learns this lesson before it's too late. Do you realize that five generations earlier, Amaziah here, he had 300,000 soldiers ready to go to war. Five generations earlier, when Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, he had 1.2 million men who were able to go to war. Amaziah has one-fourth the people, the men, to go to war that Jehoshaphat had just five generations earlier. Well, friends, I'm going to tell you something. This is what sin does. Sin weakens a nation. It diminishes it. It dispirits it. And it lessens it. And I, you know what? I kind of think maybe that's what's wrong with our country today. Too much sin. Not enough God. And God is diminishing our country in each and every way, and I see it happening each and every day. And because Amaziah, I don't guess he was comfortable with just 300,000 people, he made a decision. He was going to hire, let's just call them what they are, mercenaries. He hired them, paid them to go to war with them. And the mistake he made here is the same mistake God's people keep making today. You know what it is? He didn't pray about this. He just made a mind up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to war. Oh, yeah, I got 300,000. Well, maybe we need a few more. I'll hire some mercenaries. Go. This is all him. He did not pray about this. He did not seek the Lord's will. He just made up his mind what he was going to do, and then he set out to do it. Well, friends, how often do you and I do this? How often do we make decisions, but we give no thought about what God would have us to do? How often do we act first and pray later without asking the Lord what his will is in the situation? Let's just be honest, friends. We do it a lot. And you know what? It doesn't help any of us one bit. Let me give you a good example. Y'all remember Paul back in Acts chapter 9? Now, I know he was called Saul back then, but I'm going to call him his name that he got after he got saved. He was Paul. Remember he was going to Damascus in Acts chapter 9? Remember what he was doing? He was going to do what? To persecute the people of God, to persecute the Christian church. He was going to beat him. He was going to arrest him. He was going to haul him to jail. He was going to do all kind of nasty things to him. If he killed a few of them, I don't think that mattered to him much either. And you know, that was what he was doing. And I'm going to tell you something. He was outside of the will of God. Amen. Praise God. The Lord finally lined him out. Amen. Yep. Met him on the road to Damascus. Knocked him down. Humbled him. And let me tell you what happened in that moment. You know, at first he didn't know who he was talking to, and then when he figured out it was Jesus who was risen from the dead, the very one he was persecuting, guess what he said? I love what he said. He said this. He said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Yeah. And I'm telling you something. Those weren't just words. He meant it. He realized how wrong he had been, and in that moment he surrendered everything in his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" he meant it. And at that point he was willing to go wherever God sent him, to do whatever God told him to do, to say whatever God told him to say, and it didn't matter, honey, he was going to do it. And it ended up costing him big. He ended up a prisoner in chains. He ended up dying. That's how committed he was to the Lord's will. But let me tell you something. Up until the point where he yielded himself to the Lord, he was one miserable individual. And it wasn't until he completely yielded himself, I mean yielded everything to the Lord and prayed, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" It wasn't until that moment that his life really began to have meaning, and that he really began to have some joy, and that he really got the divine hand and favor of God upon his life, and he got some empowerment from the Lord. This is where his life turned around when he finally said, "Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, my life's about you now. You do whatever you want to do now." That's when his life really began to mean something. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. Our lives will never be full until our lives are completely and totally yielded to the will of God. And yet so often we are just like Amaziah, making our own choices each and every day, doing what we want to do instead of praying and seeking the Lord's will in the situation. And this brings me to my next point. And that is that after Amaziah made up his mind what he was going to do, guess what? He invested a whole lot in the plan, didn't he? Look at verse 6, what did he do? He didn't have enough guys of his own. He wasn't satisfied with that. He hired 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel. Oh, for 100 talents of silver. We'll get to that in a minute. But like I said, apparently the men he had on his own, he wasn't comfortable with that, so he hired these men from Israel to go fight with him. He paid these mercenaries what would be the modern-day equivalent of several million dollars to go and assist him in the battle. Now, I see a couple mistakes he made here that God's people still making today. First of all, he didn't put his faith in the Lord for the victory. What did he put his faith in? His money, his army, his mercenaries. Oh yeah, the things of the world. That's what he put his faith in, the things of the world, not in the things of God. And I've seen God's people do this so many times to the point, I'm going to be honest with you, I've grown weary of watching it. And then in addition to trusting the things of man over the things of God, you know what? He put a lot of effort to make his plan come to pass. He numbered the troops. He brought them all together. He went to the trouble of hiring soldiers from Israel. He paid them a lot of money. Man, he had a lot of time and a lot of talent invested in this venture. Well, friends, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm talking to you. If we would just put half the effort into making sure that our lives were in the center of God's will that we do and trying to make everything we want to happen, I'm going to tell you what, we make a whole lot less mistakes. And our lives would be in God's will. Then after devising this plan and putting all this effort into making it come to pass, something happened. It happens to people God day too. It's happened to me. He came up with this brilliant plan. Here's what I'm going to do. Look what I'm going to do. And he spent all this time and effort and money to try to make it happen. And then guess what happened? God showed up.
Yeah.
And God said, guess what, boy? I got a different plan.
Yeah.
Look at verse 7. It says, but there came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. God sends his man to Amaziah with a message. Now, I want you to notice a couple things. I don't think God had a problem with the whole deal. Because God doesn't say, well, you can't go to Mount Seir. You can't go fight the Edomites. He doesn't say that, does he? No, the part that God had a problem with was the mercenaries. Right here, God, the man of God tells Amaziah, said, God won't permit you to take the soldiers of Israel with you. He says, the Lord is not with Israel. So the Lord very plainly tells him, don't take them with you. Friends, you know how many times I have set out in my life to do my will only to have God slam the door in my face? My wife's over there. She knows something. I ain't going to tell you just what it was. About 18 years ago, I guess it was, man, I got out of the will of God, and I'm going to be honest with you. I knew I was out of the will of God, and I'm going to be blunt. It's before I came here. I didn't care. I kind of devised a plan for my life going forward, and I said, Lord, this is what I'm doing. I don't care if you like it or not, and I'm going to do it. And my wife will tell you, man, there was a series of events in our lives that happened, and God real gently at the beginning tried to say, no, boy, come back over here. I need you over here. This is where my will is. Come back. And I wouldn't do it. I fought him. And then God turned the heat up. And I still said, I don't care. And then one day, my wife will tell you, God took me to the woodshed and beat the ever-loving daylights out of me. And after that happened, I was scared to see what God might do next if I didn't get myself lined out. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm back. We'll drop that little plan I had. I'm forget about my will, Lord. I don't want that no more. Friends, if you are a person who is constantly seeking to do your will with no thought of God's will, let me just tell you, God's going to teach you some tough lessons. Okay, he is. God is going to teach you some tough lessons. He's going to show you who's in charge of your life. And I promise you, if you don't let him, He'll show you, no matter what you think, he's still in charge of your life, okay? So be careful, okay? Because I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. And if you insist on only seeking your will, you're going to figure out that God's will very often, most of the time, is different from your will. The best thing you can do is just pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of saying, Lord, this is what I want you to do. This brings me to my next point, and that is, Amaziah got a stern warning from the Lord. Look at verse 8, the first part of this. It says, but if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. Let me paraphrase this in a little more modern English. Here's what the man of God's telling Amaziah. He's saying, God said this. He said, listen up, boy. You insist on taking these mercenaries from Israel with you, then it won't matter how courageously you fight. God's going to overthrow you, and you're going to lose the battle. You hear that, Christians? You continue to fight God for control of your life. God is not going to be with you, and you're going to lose the battle.
Yep.
All right? You're going to lose the battle. Friends, listen to me, okay? You are never going to have a victorious Christian life outside of the will of God. Now, listen, I'm going to say something. I want you to hear this, okay? I know absolutely no lost people who are in the will of God. You hear me? None. Why? Because the very first thing, part of God's will is what? For you to be saved. For you to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and be forgiven of your sins. That's step one for getting in God's will. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're lost today, if you've never made a decision, you've never asked Jesus into your heart and life, you're not trusting him today for your salvation, let me make you a promise. You are as far from the will of God as you can possibly be. I have never met a lost person who was in the will of God. But you know what? Here's the sad part. I've met plenty of saved people who are outside of the will of God because they constantly seek their will over his. And let me tell you what I found about these people. They're miserable. They don't have any joy. They don't have any victory because they're always seeking their will and not his. And I'm going to say this. Okay, listen. If you're saved today but you're fighting God for control of your life, let me tell you. In the end, you're going to win the war. You got Jesus in your heart. You're going to win the war. When this life is over, you're going to go home and be with the Lord. But if you continue to fight God for control of your life, let me tell you what's going to happen along the way. You're going to lose a whole lot of battles to Satan. Yeah, you might win the war, but you're going to lose a lot of battles along the way. Let me tell you something. Satan's my enemy. I hate him. And I hate it when he gets one over on me. I hate it when he wins. And I don't like him to win. And I don't want to lose a bunch of battles on the way to winning the war. I want to win all the battles and win the war. Amen? That's what I want. But you're never going to know a fullness of joy, experience real victory, I'm telling you, until you surrender everything to the Lord. Just like it was for Amaziah, it is for us. If we want the Lord to be with us, then we must seek his will and not our own. This brings me to the next point, a powerful truth. Look at the last part of verse 8. Listen to what the man of God tells him. He says, for God hath power to help and to cast down. Indeed, the Lord has power to help and he has power to cast down. But you know what? He only helps those who trust him. He only helps those who are faithful. He only helps those who are willing to yield everything to him. Again, I see so many defeated Christians today, and they are defeated for no other reason than they continue to fight God for control of their life. Let me ask y'all something. Say you can say amen or yeah or whatever you want to say. Let me ask something. Do you really want God's divine hand upon your life?
Yeah?
I only heard a couple. Nobody else does? You want God's divine hand upon your life? Amen? Yeah? Do you? Do you want God's help? Do you want God's empowerment? Do you want God's blessings? Do you want victory in your Christian life? Then guess what? It ain't going to happen till you yield everything to him. Because as long as you continue to put your will over his, as long as you continue to fight God for control of your life, you are going to stumble in your Christian life. Plain and simple. I'm just telling this plain as I can tell it this morning. I hope it's understanding, right? Okay. This brings me to another thought. Here's where it comes to problem. You can always come up with an excuse why you aren't going to do the will of God. You always come up with valid reasons to not do the will of God. Did you hear Brother Lester's prayer when he prayed after I read the scripture? Lord, help us to follow your will no matter how crazy it may sound. There's a lot of times God asks us to do things that just sound downright absurd. that make no sense at all. Bible's full of things that God said, hey, I want you to do this. And they're like, huh?
Yeah. I agree.
Remember marching around Jericho once a day real quiet for 6 days and then do it six times on the seventh day and then make one more lap and then shout and wait? What kind of plan is that? My golly, that's nuts. But that's what he told them to do. Let me tell you something. You're always going to be able to find a reason. Amaziah had a reason. Look at verse 9. It says, and Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents that I have given to the army of Israel? Oh, yeah. I like what the man of God told him. You know what? The Lord's able to give thee much more than this. God told Amaziah, he said, send your hired army home. What does Amaziah do? He quickly brings up the fact he paid him a lot of money. And apparently it was non-refundable. Now I'm going to ask, I've got a conversion chart in the back of my Bible. And I've looked this up a couple other places, and so I'm confident my information is correct. Anybody know how much a talent of silver weighs? 125 pounds. He gave him 100 talents of silver, which means he gave them 12,500 pounds of silver, which equates, are you ready for this, to 200,000 ounces of silver. Now, just so I was ready for this, on Friday at the end of the market day, I looked and silver closed for $23.10 an ounce. At 200 ounces, that makes the modern-day equivalent of $4.6 million, Amaziah paid these guys to go with him. If you invested $4.6 million in something, and God told you, just walk away from it and let it go, how many of you would do it? Not very many. What if God said, I know you got $46,000 invested in this, walk away from it? How many of you would do it? What if it was $4,600 or $460 or $46? I hate to say it. I know Christians, if it was $46, they wouldn't walk away from it. But he has $4.6 million invested in this that he can't get back. But I love the Lord's answer here. He tells Amaziah, he says, you know that money? He said, that's nothing to me. What's $4.6 million to the God that owns the entire universe? And then the Lord tells him the truth. He says, I'll give you so much more than that if you'll just trust me instead. Friends, you know what that teaches me? It teaches me not only can we always find a reason or an excuse not to obey the Lord and his will, but it also tells me, and I've seen this play out in real life many times, it takes a great deal of faith to actually put the will of self aside and do the will of God instead. Oh, it's easy to talk about it, but wait until it gets real.
Yeah.
Remember the disciples of Jesus? Remember, oh, Peter, he popped up and he said, oh, I'll die with you, he said. Remember all the rest of them, remember? And they said, oh, us too. We'll die with you. And Jesus said, ain't none of you going to die with me. He said, y'all going to run away. And remember what happened? It's Mark 14:50, if you want to go home and read it. In the garden, when they came to arrest him, notice what says about the disciples? They all forsook him and fled.
Right.
They were cowards.
Right.
They boasted big things, but when it came down to it, they didn't have the faith to say, well, Lord, we're going to go ahead and do this. Let me tell you something. It's real easy today to say, hey, God's will is all I'm interested in. Well, let God put you in a situation where you really have to decide, and it's really going to cost you if you do the will of God. And then, honey, we're going to find out who you really are. There's always an excuse. That's what I'm going to call an excuse. You can always find an excuse to say no to God's will.
Right.
Always. That's never going to change. And today it's still true. God can do much more in your life, more than you can even imagine if you'll just trust him and yield yourself to him.
This brings me to my final point.
And that is that God blesses those who yield themselves to him and who seek his will than their own. Look at verse 10. It says, and Amaziah separated them, the army of Israel, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Now get this. This is crazy. It says, wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And verse 11 says, Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people, and went to the valley of Salt, and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. Hey, he made a good choice, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did what God told him to do. Now, there were some people in this story who were real put off about the decision that he made here, and I really don't understand it. Because you know who got mad about this? The mercenaries. Now, Jeff, I'd like to think, if I got paid $4.6 million to do something, and then they come back to me and say, well, you don't have to do it now. You can keep the money. I'd be pretty happy about that, wouldn't you? I mean, you know, these are mercenaries. These are soldiers. I'm going to pay you $4.6 million to go fight with me, and then they change my mind. Well, the money's yours. I gave it to you, but you don't have to go fight. I don't know. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. They just wanted to fight. Maybe, brother, they just wanted the glory. That's probably what the problem was. They just wanted the glory for themselves. Forget giving it to God. I just want it for myself. I just don't know what they were upset about. Man, you're going to pay me $4.6 million and then let me keep it, and I ain't got to do nothing for it. You ain't going to get no argument out of me. But then again, you know, whenever we, but I'm going to say this, it's still applicable today. When we seek to do God's will today, I'm going to make you a promise. There's always going to be people that ain't going to like it either. Just like the soldiers Amaziah hired, I don't know why, but man, it just seems to get some people so worked up when you set your mind and your heart to doing God's will and not your own. I just don't understand it. But guess what? When Amaziah did things God's way, he was victorious. Wow. Can you imagine? You do it God's way, and everything works out. Isn't that incredible? He went to Mount Seir. He and his army were victorious. Well, friends, nothing has changed. God is still with those who seek his will and who do his will. He still blesses those who trust him and are faithful to him. And as for those who fight him and seek to do their own will instead of his, well, it's just like the man of God said in verse 8. He can either help you for seeking to do his will, or he can oppose you if you seek to do something else. Best thing I, as your pastor, can tell you is this. Just yield yourself, your life, everything you have, everything you are to the Lord. Let him have his way in your life. I promise you, if you'll do that, you're going to have a much more victorious life, and it'll work. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. Satan always trying to tell you, oh, well, now don't do God's will. That's tough. Do this instead. This is easy. Charlie was talking about Ozempic this morning. Talking about Ozempic in our Sunday school class. I found out if you're using it for weight loss, I heard a doctor on TV this week. He won't prescribe it now to his patients. He's made a lot of people mad. If you got diabetes, insurance cover it. If you don't, it's like $900 a month. It's insane. But he was talking about how it worked, and he said over 80% of the patients he prescribed it to lost a bunch of weight, and the second they went off of it, they gained it all right back and then had more than they began with. That's what happens when you try to take the easy way out. I'm not bragging, but I've lost almost 50 pounds since July, and I ain't took drug one. I've done it the good old-fashioned way, hard work. My wife tell you, I've gotten back where I can run a mile every day, and I'm out in the woods running every day. I knocked out 1,000 sit-ups this week, brother. I've lost my mind. I quit eating sweets. It wasn't easy. Nothing worth doing is easy. Serving God is not easy. The quicker you figure that out, the quicker you can get to doing it. Because I'm going to tell you something. Satan is constantly going to present you with an easier path, but I'm going to tell you something. It won't be easier in the end. It'll be tougher. Just let God do what God wants to do. Even when you don't know what God's doing, just let God do what he wants to do. Even when it don't make a bit of sense to you, just do what God tells you to do. Even when it looks like there's an easier path, I promise you, in the end, you will be the better person for it. And if you refuse, all you're going to do is hurt yourself. Now, I'm going to close. I got to finish this story real quick, and I'm just about done. Well, hear me real close. Staying in the will of God is not a one-time decision. It is a daily decision. You hear me? It is. It takes a lot of work, and it is something we have to decide to do each and every day in order to keep our lives in the center of God's will. It requires us
to decide each day and every day that we're going to do God's will and not our own. Because look at how the rest of this chapter plays out. If you don't know the rest of this chapter, I'm going to school you on it real quick. Amaziah and his men, they go to Mount Seir in verse 11, and they defeat the Edomites. The mercenary army Amaziah hired, they were mad. How do I know they were mad? Because in verse 13, while Amaziah and his soldiers were away at Mount Seir, the mercenaries went into the cities of Judah and attacked those cities and carried away a lot of spoils from the people of Judah while they were gone fighting against the Edomites. But look at what Amaziah does next. And I'm going to be honest with you. This absolutely defies logic to me. And yet in 31 years of pastoring, I've seen this repeated over and over. And I guarantee you, you've seen it too. God has just given him a victory with less than he thought he needed to get it done. Send the mercenaries home, he said. You don't need them. I'm with you. And he goes, and God gives him this tremendous victory. And what does he do? Look at verse 14. Says, and it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites. Man, they put a whooping on these guys. Yeah. That he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods. What a fool.
Yeah.
And he bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. He takes the false gods of the Edomites that he had just defeated with the help of the one true living God. And then he begins to worship these false gods. And he did it right after God gave him the victory. And so God sends another man, one of the prophets, to Amaziah with what I think is a real good question. Verse 15, he says, wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah. I bet it was. And he sent unto him a prophet which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? That's a good question, Aunt Brother Lester. Why would he worship the false gods of the Edomites? Hadn't even been able to protect them from Amaziah and the people of Judah. Why would you do that? That's a great question. And then look how this progresses. Look at verse 19. This is talking about Amaziah. It says, thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites. Who smote the Edomites? God did. Who's taking credit for it? Oh, yeah, Amaziah. Look what I did. You know what this is called? This is called pride. It never leads to anything good. And then in verse 20, it says he wouldn't listen to God any longer. And he once again became self-willed. Now you see how this, in one chapter of Scripture, he's in his will, then he's in God's will, and then he's back to his will. Why? The decisions that he made. He should have chose to have been in God's will and stayed there. But he didn't. He chose to go back to doing his will. And then in verse 27, it says, Amaziah just absolutely turned away from following the Lord. That's what self-will will get you. It gets you far from God. And then ultimately in verse 27, Amaziah was slain. You know why? Because the Lord wasn't with him. You know why the Lord wasn't with him? The Lord wasn't with him because he got more interested in doing his own will again than he was with doing the Lord's. And you know what this shows me, friends? This shows me that every single day we have to work at keeping our lives in the center of God's will. It shows me that the decisions that we make each day in this life are either going to keep us in the will of God or take us out of the will of God. But if we drift away from the will of God for the will of self, I'm going to promise you something, there will always be a big price to pay. Again, Christians, do you want a victorious life? Do you want God's divine hand and God's divine favor on your life? Do you want your joy to truly be full? Do you want victory? Then there's only one way for it to happen. And that is surrender everything to him and allow him to truly have his way in your life, to truly be the master and Lord of your life, not just in word, but in sincerity. Once you make that decision to yield everything to him, be very careful, friends, because from there it's real easy to drift back away.
Yep.
Don't do it. Decide every morning when you get up today. this is about the Lord, not about me. I'm living for him, not for me. I'm more interested in his will than I am in my will. And then get out of bed and seek to make that happen during the day. Friends, that is how you have a victorious, productive, joyful, victorious life. By yielding yourself to the Lord and his will. Let me ask you, and then we'll pray. What do you need to surrender to the Lord today? I'm talking to Christians. What is it in your life that you need to yield to him today? Be honest with yourself, because God already knows the truth. If you say, well, preacher, I'm real close to being completely surrendered, but there's this one thing. Let me give you some advice. Bring that one thing to this altar this morning. Give it to him and say, Lord, I ain't dealing with no more. Your will be done. You do in my life, Lord, from this point forward, whatever you want to do with my life, and I trust you, Lord, that you're going to make it good. Because I promise you, you will. What is there in your life today that you need to yield to him? What is in your life today that's outside of the will of God? Is there anything? Probably a lot of you, if you're honest, have to say, well, yeah, there's some things in my life I know aren't the will of God. Do yourself a favor. Make a decision right now to come and truly let him be Lord of your life. To have his way in all things and just surrender everything to him. And say, Lord, thy will be done. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't saying it's going to be easy. I ain't saying you ain't going to have some days where the devil ain't going to be tempting you real hard to, hey, come over here and do this instead. But I'll promise you, you get your life in the center of God's will and you decide to keep it there, in the end, you will be glad. Glad that you did. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so silly sometimes. We make up our minds what we want to do, and then we do everything we can, Lord, to make it happen. With no thought to your will, no thought to what you would have us to do, no prayers, nothing, Lord. We just go headlong trying to do what it is that we want to do, and Lord, all we do is complicate our lives. Forgive us, Lord. Instead, help us, Lord, to be people who are truly seeking your will in all things. But Lord, it's not enough just to pray and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? It takes more than that. Because Lord, once you show us what your will is, Lord, I pray that you would give us all the courage, that you would give us all the maturity, Lord, to yield ourselves to that will. Because very often, Lord, your will and ours are two different things. Help us, Lord, today to be a people who are yielded to you and your will. Who are not concerned with the will of self or the will of man, but only with the will of God. Yes. Help us, Lord, to get our lives in the exact center of your will. Amen. Lord, that we would be the people you designed us to be, that you would have us to be, that you've called us to be. Help us, Lord, each day as we awaken, as we rise from our beds, to make a decision that this day I will follow the Lord. Help us, Lord, not just to get in the center of your will, but to stay there. Lord, I know it. I've lived both sides of this. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who's still struggling to give you complete control of their life, I pray, God, you'll make them understand that their life will be so much better when you are completely in control of everything. Amaziah did good for a while, Lord. Then he faltered because he got more concerned with the will of self and the glory of self than he was with you. God, help us not to make these decisions, not to make these mistakes, but to be people who are yielded to you. And Lord, if there is that one today who's never received Jesus as their Savior and Lord, who doesn't know where they would go if they died right now, I pray, Lord, they would come right now and yield themselves to you and call upon Jesus for that great salvation that only he can. God, for those of us who are your people, help us, Lord, to truly examine our own hearts.
Yes, Lord.
And to see if there's something that we need to yield to you today, or if there's something in our life that we just know is not in the center of your will. Help us, Lord, to correct that situation now, to make the choice to come and yield ourselves to you. God, have your way in this invitation, in each and every heart and life.
Yeah.
But Lord, as you're speaking to people, I pray, Lord, they'd have the good sense to step out of the pew and come to this altar this morning and respond to you and yield themselves to you and your will. Lord, that's the only thing that's going to bring us victory. It's the only thing that's going to bring us the best possible life. The only thing that's going to bring us real joy is when our lives is in the center of your will. Help us now, God. And I pray these things in